Brother David, I'm recharged from that youth rally. That's got me pumped up. It don't take much to pump me up, but that's got me pumped up. Amen. Acts chapter 1. I got to lead a fella to the Lord. Tickled me. Oh, I love to do that. Got to show somebody. And I got to watch the twinkle in his eye as the chains fell off of him. I looked at him. I don't usually ask this because I don't want to confuse people. But I felt like, well, I said, how do you feel? He smiled and said, pretty good. And I said, praise God. I know that feeling. I said, about 500 angels just took a lap in heaven. Amen. He looked at me. He was shocked at that. But I said, it's happening right now. I guarantee it. And I'm so thankful that God's still in the saving business. I'm very, very thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I'm thankful for His presence. I'm thankful that He'll use a sinner boy like me to preach the word. I'm humbled tonight. Don't you ever think that Austin Payton thinks he can preach. He does not. Now, I was pretty confident on the ball floor. A lot of people didn't like me for that. But I'm not very confident up here. I try to place my confidence in Him. Because if it was just me, I'd be shaking. I'm scared right now. I'm more scared than I've ever been at this moment right now. Because I understand that the devil himself would try to do everything he could to stop me from saying what God told me to say tonight. It's big to me. I take it very serious. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Familiar passage of Scripture. I'm nervous, but I believe this is what the Lord wants me to preach. He never lets me preach something easy, Brother Dave. I think you probably feel the same way. So does the pastor probably. Never do I get up to preach and I think this is going to be easy. It's never that way. It's going to be heavy. So I ask you to pray for me tonight. I want to get something across to you that will help you. Something plain, something simple. I'm going to talk about somebody that I love. Amen. Let's look at verse number 8. The words of Jesus talking to His disciples. But ye shall receive power. I want you to have that word right there implanted in your mind throughout the night. And I hope that you'll leave here tonight thinking about that word a little different than when you came in. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall. I love how sure the Bible is. I love how sure Jesus is right here. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, amen, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. When they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon, Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. Listen to this. These all continue in one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Let's pray and ask God to help me tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray right now that You bless the reading of Your word. I'm so thankful that I'm not standing on my own authority. I'm not standing on me. I'm standing on the rock that never changes. And I pray right now that despite of the deadness of some people, despite of all of the devil's hindrances and all of the demons and devils of hell tonight trying to stop me from preaching Your word, I pray that in spite of my flesh right now, that You move and work in a mighty way. I ask You, Lord, to cleanse me of all my sin, to empty me of all myself, and to give me a fresh filling of Your Holy Spirit. God, I pray right now that You'd give me an unction to function. I pray that every word would not be coming out of me, but would be coming from heaven through me and to Your precious people. Oh God in heaven, help us not to leave here like we came, but help us to be changed tonight. I'm so thankful to be a Christian. I'm so thankful for the blood. Lord, I come to You humbly by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask You to touch this young fella. Lord, I don't have the knowledge to do it. I don't have the wisdom to do it. There's no talent, no ability, nothing in me that can get this done. But I pray tonight that You'd help me to preach in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, I pray tonight that you'd touch me. I pray tonight that a wind from heaven would flow in this place. I pray tonight you'd get me out of the way. And oh God in heaven, you'd move and work in a mighty, mighty way. This message may be for one person. This message may be for everybody. But I know, oh God in heaven, that you have this time assembled. You have this time set before the foundation of the world. And I pray right now that you'd help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I am so thankful for God tonight. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice that word of power. I'd like to preach a message, God helping me, on fullness of power. Fullness of power. Now notice with me what's going on here. You need to understand exactly what's happening. The Bible is an amazing book. Amen. Don't let everybody ever tell you the lie that the Bible is a boring book. Not so. Not so. The Bible is an amazing, wonderful, living book. This Bible is the living word. You know what Peter said about the Bible in 1 Peter? He got done writing about the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured and glorified. That was an amazing thing. He saw Moses and Elijah there that day. That's amazing. You know what he said? He said, that was live experience. He said, but now I've got a more sure word of prophecy. That is to say that if I could go back and watch Jesus heal somebody, Peter would say, reading it's just as good, son. It's a more sure word of prophecy. I'm thankful tonight that I've got a more sure word in my hand. What a blessing, what a blessing. But here's Jesus. He's already died. He's already hung on the cross. And I'm so thankful he did. For I could not have been saved if it had not been for the cross. And it was the cross that made the difference in my life and in yours. And the disciples have watched him die. The disciples have watched Joseph as he craved, the Bible says he craved the body of Jesus and put him in the tomb there in the garden. The disciples had seen the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? He's already died. He's already been buried. He's already risen from the grave. But you know what is kind of underrated is the little 40-day ministry that Jesus had in his resurrected body here on earth. We believe 500 people, the Bible says, had saw him while he was in his resurrected body. I'm glad one day I'm getting a body like that. Amen. Fashioned like, the only difference is I'm not going to have those because he took them for me. Hallelujah. But one day I'm going to have a body like that. And Jesus had that body while he was here. But he's about to make his ascension up into heaven. He said, it is finished. I'm thankful that Jesus always gets the job done. Amen. Jesus never left anybody with any holes or anything missing. Jesus never left anybody unsatisfied. And I am satisfied with Jesus tonight. And Jesus has already got the job done. All that's left is to ascend. But he has one more little thing to say to his disciples before he ascends. And it's this. I want you to notice this. But ye shall receive a power. I love that word, a power. I want to preach tonight about the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to tell you what I know, what I found out about the Holy Ghost of God. We Baptists sometimes tend to get a little afraid of the Holy Ghost of God. And I believe it's one of the most attacked doctrines in all of the Bible is this doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. But it is all through the Bible, especially the book of Acts. And it is attacked by the devil. And we have misunderstood and trodden underfoot this doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, our churches need a dose of some Holy Ghost of power. Amen. Our churches, our Christians, our preachers, our young people, our men, our women, our boys and our girls, we need a dose of some old-fashioned, repentant, selfless, Holy Ghost of power. Amen. You know what B.L. Moody had on him? Wasn't an intellect, wasn't good looks, wasn't a nice suit. Oh, it wasn't any of that. You know what B.L. Moody had on him? He had some old-fashioned power. You know what Billy Sunday had on him? Wasn't those things. Wasn't any talent. He had some old-fashioned, a Holy Ghost of power. And the man preached alcohol out of the country. That's some power. You know what we're missing today? Somebody help me. We're missing some old-fashioned, a Holy Ghost power. I'm tired of dead Christianity. I'm tired of people with no ump, no unction, no want to, and no drive. No edge. You know what the world does when they see that? They laugh at you. They say, I got more edge at the club than they got in the church. We need some power. We need some is. We need some Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. We need God to do things. We need God to be the one speaking. We need God to be the one working. We need the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And we've got to better understand Him to have Him. Amen. We've got to better understand Him to have Him. I venture to say that many of us tonight don't know very much about the Holy Spirit of God and how sad that is. I've read some books about this and tried to study this, and men wrote about this, especially back in the old days. They wrote about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those different things. There's some doctrinal differences between us and some other churches. But let me get that across real quick. When you get saved, there's one indwelling, we're in a Bible college, one indwelling and many fillings. There's one indwelling, and we all believe that. But we forget about step number two. You listen to me, honey. We forget about step number two. That's many fillings. We forget about that. Are you listening to me? One indwelling, many fillings. I've got a feeling that the disciples were saved at this time. They believed on Jesus. But yet Jesus acts as if they have not received the Holy Spirit yet. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? And what He's talking about here, I believe with all my heart, that He's talking about right here, that you've got to have a new and a fresh feeling for service. Amen? When you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. Praise God for that. The Holy Spirit's living inside of me right now. But the Bible says you can grieve Him. And you can lose a little bit of that power. He's still there. But you've grieved Him and you've hurt His feelings. Did you know that? I think it's Ralph Sutton Jr. that always says this. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful being in work today. But He's also the most easily offended. I want to help you tonight. I've learned this about the Holy Spirit of God. It changed my walk. It changed, you know, that smiling at dirty jokes as a Christian young man. When I learned that, I quit. Because every time I even wince at a dirty joke, Holy Spirit says, all right, listen to me. You've got to understand. I'll get to the point. Number one, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Understand real quick. The Holy Spirit of God is not an it. Listen to me. It's not a wave. It's not, there's symbols of Him, but He's a person, just like Jesus. Did you know that? He's a person. Listen to me. This is important. The Holy Ghost of God is not a force. It's not an it. I don't know how to get that across. I can't think of the words, but He's a person, just like I'm standing before you today, except He doesn't have a body. He has no flesh, but He's a person, and He's in here right now, and He is as real as He can get, that He can penetrate and do amazing things and do wonderful things and help you. And He is a person. But let's notice a couple things about His personality real quick. First of all, notice this. Did you know the Holy Spirit of God has a first name? Here's His first name. When you meet somebody, I want you to say, hey, what's your name? He says His first name. I want to get the first name, right? Amen? We need to get the Holy Spirit's first name now before we go any further. His first name is what? Holy. Holy. You know what that means? Without sin. Untainted. No bad thoughts, no bad deeds, none of us can say. But the Holy Spirit, we say that and we forget that He's holy. He said, wait a minute, we forget. There is a song that young people are singing, like this. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party that don't stop. They have forgot His first name. Listen to me, Christian. If you want the Holy Spirit of God to touch your life, you need to learn His first name. See, when the angels bow before the Trinity, they say, holy, holy, holy. There is none of this party. There is none of this wildness. There is none of this foolishness and sin. He is holy. In other words, you cannot have Him in your life and entertain bad habits. You cannot be hooked on porn and filled with all. Listen to me. I'm just trying to help you. You can't listen to secular music and be filled with all the Spirit. You can't dress wrong and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't disobey God's word and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't play hooky on church and be listen to me and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, right here. You have got to do everything you can to be holy, to have the Holy Spirit. Now, none of us are going to be sinless, but God knows what you're doing. And when He sees you striving for this life and striving to do better, that's what the Holy Spirit of God will set in and manifest Himself in your life, but you cannot have Him until you are holy. Notice number two.
dove, not a whole one right now, and it was familiar with this area, that dove would be twitching and be very flinty. They don't like it. If they're not familiar with their surroundings, they don't like it. The Holy Spirit of God is not familiar with a lot of the surroundings.
Yeah.
If he don't like it. He's not familiar with a lot of church services, man. Guess what? If he don't like it, guess what? It's God. He don't have to hang around. Don't leave. Don't be greedy. God said in Ephesians 3:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't take him off, for lack of a better word. Don't make him mad. I don't want to make him sad. You know what the Holy Spirit of God is? I'll get this about a dove. A dove, if I bought a dove in Los Angeles, California, and flew back and walked outside right now, and that dove would get straight home. You know exactly how to get home. Jesus said this, I'm going to go and I'm going to send the comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, the comforter is going to come. And you're saying, well, I can't believe it as well. But when I know, you don't know. He's just like you. The Holy Spirit is just like anything you read about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen. And he says, the comforter is going to come. But the Bible gives me as a dove, and that is important because, ladies and gentlemen, one day it will go home. And that day is coming soon. This is going to be a terrible place in the Holy Spirit of God. We take it for granted. You know what he's doing in America right now? He's in a corner, looking up to the Father and saying, can I come home now? The Supreme Court doesn't like me very much. The church, Elevation Church, doesn't like me very much. The Christians don't like me very much. They change the precious Word of God. They change things that they weren't supposed to change. They hurt things that they weren't supposed to hurt. They let things go on that they weren't supposed to let go on. And the Holy Spirit of God is looking up at Jesus and looking up and saying, let me go home. Can I just go home? What about it? I want to ask you this question. Is your lifestyle offensive to the Holy Spirit of God? And I'm with you. God helps. We need him, God. Amen. We need him. We don't need nobody else. There's ain't nobody who is like Jesus. And we need the Holy Spirit of God. We need him. The other one was preaching, and there's about 400 men up underneath the pulpit crying to hear him underneath his preaching. He got quiet while he was preaching. He did. You hear those men grumbling underneath their praying. And the Holy Spirit of God came in there and said, these fellows are wrong. You know what the Holy Spirit of God started doing? He started walking through those aisles and going, and people started flooding the altars, and people started getting right. And then he would stand in one spot, put his hand on his hip, and just thunder the Word of God. And it wasn't him, but the Holy Spirit of God was stripping over that place and was doing wonderful things in that place. You know what we need today? We don't need any more preachers. We don't need any more intellect. We don't need any kind of Bible. We don't need promotions. We need a new pop. We need preaching and praying and Holy Ghost power. That's what we need. That's what's missing in our church. A lot of you come to church, you sit down and you go wrong because nothing's going to happen. That's not what I want. That makes me angry. And guess who else that makes me angry?
Yeah.
If you don't want him, you know what he does? You know what? You see the Holy Spirit of God say, hey, you didn't bother to ask me. Much less one. They didn't even think of asking. Really? And they expect me to touch that creature when they don't even pray for him? You expect me, God incarnate, to fill you when you don't even stop listening to rock music? You expect me, God incarnate, to work in your life when you don't even obey what I wrote to you? He wrote it after you. All you got to do is read it. Almost happened. And we neglect it. Why? Because we don't know. We disrespect it and we take it for granted. Why does that fall? But it's true. And I do it too. We gotta stop. Folks, we gotta stop. I need him. I want him. You know what was different about that new crowd? You know what was different? I sat there and I said, ooh, this is different. Somebody prayed for this guy.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit of God started circling over that place.
Yeah.
And people flooded the altar. Look, you can't get saved without him.
Why?
Are you listening to me? People will not get saved. That's why he was sick. People in this church will not get saved unless he's here. That's it. We need it. Notice number two. I've got to put these two words together. That's first now. Okay? Number two. We've got this purpose, and there's a word here. It's power. It's power. I couldn't separate those two. I was writing this out. I couldn't do it. When I talk about purpose, it's what he likes to do. It's how he's going to do it. He uses his power to fulfill his purpose. He wouldn't need his power if he had a purpose. Personally, one great thing he does is this. He teaches. He's a teacher. You know that? The Holy Spirit of God is a teacher. The Bible says that for a reason. You want to know that. It says that he teaches. He is the teacher. Did you know this? The Holy Spirit of God will never say anything, will never work in any way, will never do anything that does not line up with Scripture.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit of God uses that book. I talk to a lot of preaching boys, some preaching boys, and I'll tell you this and that happened. And I'm like, wait a minute. Does it line up with the book?
Right.
Because the Holy Ghost didn't say anything. A lot of people would like to say this. Holy Ghost only did. I was told to say that. Holy Ghost only did. Holy Ghost told me to say that. Sounds cool, right? But if it does not, what the Holy Ghost told me to do, but if it does not line up with what the Holy Ghost wrote, then he didn't tell you. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit of God will never say anything that does not line up with that old 1611 King James Bible. The Holy Spirit of God, it does not work in that fashion. The Bible says what? That men, only the prophets of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says it was a God-breathed book. That means that the Holy Spirit of God filled with the Paul up and started writing. And used that finger and wrote those words.
Yeah.
He is the author of that book. That means to tell me that when I read the Bible, I have the opportunity to have the very author, the very inspirer, the very one who can see those words in an awesome mind. That book is God's mind on paper. You have the opportunity when you read that book to have the author of that book sit in your lap and tell you everything it says, word for word. But we listen to me. I've read that Bible without it. It's a new thing. Oh, when he said one word will satisfy me all day. I'll say two. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said two on me.
Amen.
Hey, here's the thing.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God is the only one that can do it. Read your Bible with him. He teaches. He also calls. It is the Holy Spirit of God that calls you. You know that? Calls people to do different things. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who bestows your spiritual gifts on you. You will not find your gifts and your call without it. So if you've never talked to him, you're not fulfilling your life purpose. That's it. I spent my whole life not talking to him much, and I was busy. It wasn't until I got on my knees and I laid in the white flag to pay him. He showed me what my life purpose was. It's the same way with you. You must surrender your life to him and give it all to him. He calls me also comfort. He's very loving. He's very kind. He'll walk with you and he'll talk with you. He also, this scripture promise, by the way, he also strengthens. I want to say it in your life. He strengthens. That song I'm saying said this. Say now to God. Listen to this. Temptations lose their power.
Yeah.
You know why Christians and preachers and people have affairs and mess up and do all that stuff? Why? Because they keep the Holy Ghost out of it all.
Yeah. Right.
You can't grab that that you're supposed to be grabbed and be filled with the Holy Spirit will say, hey,
really?
Amen. You mean to tell me the only way you can live a victorious life over sin is if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What does that say? Walk in the what? In my
spirit.
Spirit in your life. Shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Shall not. No flesh with that. In other words, if I'm holding hands with him, I can't hold hands with them at the same time.
Right.
It's not going to work that way. Does not work that way. So if you get full of him, he will teach you how to avoid the sin. But you got to yield to him. It is. If the Christian life is not about refusing sin, about it. The Christian life is not about the good. It's not about it. The Christian life, as we know, is about surrendering your life to the Holy Spirit and being broken, and the rest is taken care of. Okay? There's no ability that you have that's going to be able to stop sin. I can't do it in my own way. I can't preach in my own way. I can't do anything by myself next to you. It's tough for us to understand why. Because you've got a shed on it. We'll do that. But he does that in strength. He will give you strength. He will give you some serious power to live the Spirit of God. He will do it. You know what's the difference? My friend told me a story. He's about to go to the hall. He said, I went to talk to the president of this college. He said, the president sat me down. He said, brother, I'm going to teach you to preach. He said this. He said, well, I'm going to teach you to preach. He said, son, there's a difference between preaching and preaching in the Bible. I've heard a lot of you preaching. The Bible is some preaching. That's good. But in the Bible. I've heard some preaching on there. In the Bible. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. There are Christians who live their lives and there's no power. And there are some. Anybody ever heard a Christian that still actually pray for you? Because they've got some value, they've got some holy going on. I've been around some old, I had an old lady pray with me one time in a wheelchair driver service. And there's some, she put her hand on my shoulder and started praying for me. There's something to that. Had a little bit of something on her. Had a little bit of anointing. Why? That lady went through at midnight. The people that couldn't see her were praying. She was wheelchair. She was 97 years old. She wheelchaired herself through the hallway. Nobody was around. Here on the whiteboard, right out, comforting them. There were people that couldn't see her. That's her ministry. And the Holy Spirit of God. So I remember that. She touched her prayer and said, there's something different about that prayer. And it wasn't anything else to do.
Right.
Isn't it crazy how meek he is sometimes? Yeah. How lonely he is sometimes? Isn't it crazy how you can nail-fly things to be found alive? Isn't it crazy how Jesus is small? Isn't it crazy how Jesus passed up all those awesome pomp and all that dress cool and all the muscular dudes and all the cool guys and all the big-time dudes? All those fellows, he passed them all up and went up and looked up at that joker that was in the tree and said, hey, I'm meeting with you. Somebody looked at him and said, what? He's a chief. That means a lie. But Jesus came for the chiefs and he came for the liars. The Pharisee said, you don't know you're sick and you don't need me. The Holy Spirit is the same way. If you don't know you're sick and you need me, he won't be there. But you need to understand it's in you. But that's what I'm saying. I need it. I need him. I know there's one, but I need him. He's strange. Then I like this. He's satisfied. He satisfies. I'll tell you a story. I'm just having a good time. I'll tell you a good story. I love it. I'm going to see you a little bit. I'm going to take you a little bit. Listen to me. I was sitting in a service a while back, and I was sitting there, and I couldn't move. The problem was working. And I wanted my fear. There was nothing to do. I wanted that. Oh, he got to you and said, God, you're going to be a child. And God spoke to my heart and he got me there, you know? And God started working. And it rained. It rained. I had everything I needed to do to pray and pass and to bring to God. Please, pray to God. My foolishness. Tell me what you're going to pray. The very thing. And I'm serious. And I'm praying when he steps aside. I'll sit over there at once. People will flood it off. And it got, the service got to the point where the only thing you can do is sing to him. Because that was the only song you could pick. Because that was the only song I had the Holy Spirit on the field. It was that kind of service. And I looked up and this word came to my mind. And he got up and started singing. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. And I've been singing that song. And I said to this, that guy, said, I'm satisfied. That feeling, and guess what? There wasn't two needles in my arms. There wasn't a Budweiser sitting to my side. I wasn't on a high. I hadn't done anything wicked or sinful. If it takes sex, drugs, alcohol, rock music, anything at all it took was the Holy Spirit of God to sit down beside me, put his arm around me and say, I'm here. That's it. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. He took me to that field of grace and said, he took me and told me, said, I'm just sitting there. And that blew me. I'll never give him a minute. But I want my life to be where I can go up to my room and sit there and say, I'm satisfied. He is satisfied. He will do it. Alright, so we've got his perfect out of that. We've got his purpose and his power. I didn't say it after something, but he does all kinds of more stuff that are amazing and wonderful. If you want to learn about it, read about Jesus for a second. They're coding the coaches. Their position is different in God, but they're the same. God's called the same way. We believe it. We're Trinitarian church. But we can coexist together. Everything Jesus did, Holy Ghost did.
Right.
Everything Jesus said, Holy Ghost said too.
Right.
Everything that word had. Jesus is the walking, living word. That body was the written word. And the Holy Spirit, the interpreter of both. By the way, the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, always believes in Jesus. And by the way, not only will he strengthen his hand, he'll lead you through life too. He'll take you by the hand and say, here's how you go, here's what you do. Hey, here's what you do. Come over here. Go do it. He goes to me. All you got to do is this. Have you ever seen a little kid that trusts a daddy and jumping off? Close your eyes and jump. Come on. Jump. That's all you got to do. He'll catch it. He'll care. That's the way. He will do it. Always hear God to do it. So now, we've said all that, right? We understand a little bit better, right? We understand that there is a power, we're talking about power. There is a fullness of power that we have. I'll ask you a question tonight. Do you really think, I'm asking you this, do you really think you're filled with Spirit? Do you really think that in everything you do, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God to the very utmost, to the top? You really think? Ask yourself that question. You say, Creepy, you told me all this stuff. What do I do with that? What do I do? And that brings you to number three, the privilege from the Holy Spirit. What do I do with that? What do I do with that? First of all, this, we talked about being bold. Listen, you must be empty to be filled. You ever tried to put something in a box that's full? And there's nothing there? You were going to try that. And that's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Can't do it. There's a square box right here. It's full of tissue, and I can't put any more in it. It's full or something. So for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit of God to fill you, you must be empty of you. It's the hardest thing to do. This is the hardest thing to do. You know what? I had dreams, man. I had dreams. I was enrolled somewhere. I had ideas. I had abilities. I was a good guy. I had stuff to do. But the Holy Ghost of God said, hey, give it to me now. By the way, every single person comes to a point in their life where you come to a one-on-one encounter with the Holy Ghost. God, he said, give it to me. Now, I'm watching here with people living. Sometimes he gives people more chances. He doesn't have anybody. The Bible says he shows mercy to two people show mercy. So if he gives you a chance tonight to give it to him, you better give it to him. Why hold anything back from the Holy Ghost? Why hold anything back from the Creator of the universe? Why hold anything back from the God of heaven? Why hold anything back from the one who loves me with a love that can't stop? Why hold anything back from the one who snatched my soul out of hell and set my feet on a solid rock and established my bones? Why hold anything back from the holy, righteous, perfect, potent, powerful, piercing God Almighty? Why hold anything back from the sanctification, the glorification, the propitiation, the salvation, the reconciliation to every nation? Why hold anything back from him? Why? There is no good answer. You know what that is? Isn't that so? Correct one. Jesus turned to look at it and said, why are you following me? Will you also go away? And Peter said, where are you going? Where should I go? See, Jesus got the words of eternal life. Who's got that? In other words, you're the highest bidder, God. We're going to be. Guess what? He still is. Go with him. Go with him. Go with him. Go with him. You shall receive power. I got the Holy Ghost come on. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. It says power afterward. The Holy Ghost come on. I thought Paul said yes, he will have power come on. So we need to be intimate with ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves to him. What we need to do? We need to do everything we can. Because to obey. You know, the Christian life is very simple. It's trust and obey. Your first trust. You can't separate. Because if you trust somebody, you obey them. If you don't obey somebody, you don't trust them. Not really. That's called order. You don't know. You're going to give orders. He's not a commander-in-chief unless he surrenders to his army. But he's not going to throw you into his rank. He says, take it to him. He's an understanding about that. He wants to use you, but he will not force you. Did you know, just like we claim redemption, just like we claim all those great promises of salvation, you can claim the force of the Spirit of God. This other promise. You can claim that same power. Here it is. Oh God, this is what you want me to claim. It's a living force of it. He's saying, surrender. So, thank God. Obedience. But all those things we need to do. Now, tools of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you a quick story about exactly what he used to do in this country. George Whitfield was preaching in his day, and he had a guy who loved to make fun of him. A lot of people do. He had a guy who loved to make fun of him. His name was Thorpe. He was an atheist. He got up and started preaching, making fun of George Whitfield. Opened his mind to the passage in John that says, if he did not repent, he shall surely die. You know what all the other did? He didn't agree. He got hit with conviction by his own conviction. The guy who saved, the other said, if it goes on in front of the neighbors, life is it. You know why? You know why? I'm just going to have this dream that's what we have to do. I think George Whitfield has spent many sleepless nights saying, God saved that fellow. God saved that man that won't stop making fun of me. God touched this country, and the guy was preached till his throat would bleed. Why? Because he knew that America needed the Holy Ghost of God. Really, somebody would get up and people hate him for this. And he would shut the core preaching against alcohol. Preaching. He'd say, it's yellow, but he's good for nothing. He was sad. Why? He had 100% confidence that that was what the Holy Ghost was calling him to do. Guess what? They prohibited that stuff. Yeah. That's power. B.L. Moody said, talking about to stop praying, my body can't handle this. Yeah. Why can't I? You know what God said to me? Yeah. He almost did it. He's about 150 pounds heavy, and that's it. You can't. Christian, listen to me. I'm going to. You can have it. You can come to this church on Wednesday night. You can be full, you can be blessed. Nobody can say a word. That's the kind of Christian you can be. People come here and say, I want to stand up, and the Holy Ghost will not be so big in you. Because something that is a gift, because your life. You know where revival starts? In each individual heart. Right. The Holy Spirit of God is waiting on you. He may not know it. He's waiting on you. I believe that America is about to have a way. I believe the Father will do amazing things. All of this church with him. That's why I believe God will do that. Think about the Holy Spirit. Get a heart for him. Say, come on. I know some preachers who understand. Every time I get around, I like to pick the brain to it. Before I know something here. It's how you understand the Holy Spirit. I don't know as much as I can how he works, what he does, how he does. There's a lot to learn about. How much do you know about? You really don't. You need it in your life. I need it in your life. He's offering to open. If you want to come, you have something that's been written, and something to give to Him.
What is it in your life that you've never given to God? What is it in your life that you're holding back from God? Think about it. We're going to sing, I Surrender All. We're going to sing 306. Have that on way. If you want to turn there, we've got some folks coming to the altar. Come on down, folks, if you want to pray to God. Give Him what you need to give Him tonight. He's here. He's working. He's moving. He's asking.